Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. With many thanks for everyone who came through for WIPR during the pledge drive that met its goal about 21 hours ago. We can't do any of what we do without you, and so we're very grateful. The national news on the economy isn't so good this morning. The economy shrank during the first 3 months of the year, but local news is more promising. The government reported this week that Maryland employers created more jobs than any month since April 2010. 16,400 jobs. Still, in the previous month, the state lost almost half that many jobs, 7,200, perhaps reflecting the same forces that shrank the national economy early in the year. Over the last 12 months, Maryland's trend is up, almost 40,000 jobs created, or 1.5%. So what kind of track is the state's economy on, and what types of jobs are being created? Where are they, and can they support families? We've asked two economists to talk to us about it. With me in the studio is Andy Bauer, senior regional economist for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond's Baltimore branch. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And interrupting his vacation to speak with us from New Orleans is Daria Serrani, chief economist of RESI, the Regional Economic Studies Institute at Towson University. Welcome back, Daria.
Thank you very much.
Let me start with you. Which types of businesses are creating jobs?
So right now, it looks like it's in your professional and business services. It's traditionally been our growth sector and our educational health services. And then in our leisure and hospitality services, with some growth in government. Those have traditionally been the bigger growth areas, though I will say this month's reported increase of 7,600 jobs in administrative and support and waste management and remediation services seems somewhat suspect.
Just because it's such a big number?
Yeah, it's such a big number. And just to give you some perspective, last year, this same time period, 11,000 jobs were created. So it seems this March to April has a nice big bump. So this year we just had a bigger bump. We suspect this number will be diminished. But looking from last March to this March, we had about 35,000 jobs created.
Well, let me pull Andy into this conversation about this. I looked a little bit at that category of support services because it includes, as I understand it, office administrative support, garbage collection, remediation, which I guess is, you know, sort of fixing problems with land, et cetera. I mean, these, they're support jobs. And yet, over the course of 12 months in Maryland, they're up like 5% as they were last week. So I guess one of my questions is, are these jobs that, are they good paying jobs? Are they the kind of jobs we want to create?
Well, it's going to vary a lot because, you know, within that, you mentioned, you know, office work, office support, depending on the level of skill of that person, that could have a, you know, that job could be a very well paying job. Also included that is temp services. And so temp services, again, depending on the sector, can be very high paying. For example, I've talked to some recruiters who, you know, are trying to find workers for companies, and IT workers, for example, difficult to find. And if you can find them and place them, the salaries that they're commanding are very high. And so temp workers is also in that category. And so they're going to command very high wages. And then support for building services, again, it depends on, you know, the nature of the service that you're providing. You know, some HVAC workers, again, depending on the service, you could have services which are very valuable to enterprises and as a result, they pay a lot and the services provided will result in high paying salaries for workers. So it's going to vary a lot in that particular category.
Well, let me get back to another sector that you mentioned, Darius, the education and health sector. WIPR reporter Mary Rose Madden, for a piece she did about job training, spoke with Kara Markley, who's a regional economist for the U.S. Department of Labor. Markley said that the category education and health services has been a superstar in Baltimore's economy.
It's the largest super sector in Baltimore, including all education, hospitals, healthcare, nursing homes, things like that. This has been a steadily increasing super sector despite the recession. It was pretty much recession-proof. It's actually not seen a decline in this super sector over the past 10 years. Started off 2005, 96,000 jobs, and we're now up to 112,000 jobs in March 2015.
And it might be up even more in April. I didn't find that number. But Darius, is this the sector that's driving things for the state, that's positive for the state?
Well, I think for the city it definitely is. I mean, I think the state sees much more growth from its professional and scientific and technical services, and from its the federal government ties, the contractors. But for the city, it definitely is an engine. So think about all the hospitals and universities in the area, the private sector universities in those areas. That really is a growth. And then all the health needs of many of the citizens are there. And that's 630,000 people. So it's a big driver. It's driven mainly by demographics to some degree. And I would argue that with the healthcare exchange program, taking about 125,000 people in Maryland, we expect that sector to continue to grow.
On WYPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Darius Arani, chief economist of RESI, the Regional Economic Studies Institute at Towson University, and with Andy Bauer, senior regional economist for the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond's Baltimore branch. Andy Bauer, what about Maryland's labor force as we see these higher job numbers?
So what we've been seeing, what's been an interesting factor since the end of the recession is that within the U.S. and within Maryland, we've seen a decline in the labor force and a decline in labor force participation rate. And that's garnered a lot of discussion as to why that is. Is it driven exclusively by demographic factors, the aging out of the population, people starting to retire? Or is it driven by people becoming discouraged and leaving the labor force? And so the unemployment rate's kind of misleading because you've got a lot of people who left the labor force because they couldn't find jobs. Or is it because people left the labor force because they lost their job and decided to get new skills and so went back to school? Plus, we've seen an increase in disability. So there's been a lot of discussion about that. What we've seen in Maryland is that it's been really interesting in that recently the labor force has started to increase. So after a sustained period of decline, it leveled out, and we've seen a sustained increase recently. And so the decline in the unemployment rate that we've seen over the past year, so the unemployment rate's now at 5.3%, it's come down 0.6% of the past year. And so that decline in the unemployment rate is even more impressive because we've got more people entering into the labor force. And the jobs are there. And so sometimes what happens is when people enter into the labor force, if the jobs aren't there, then they're listed as unemployed.
And the unemployment rate could actually go up.
And so we've seen the unemployment rate come down as more people are entering into the labor force. And so while the data we get for the labor market, the payroll numbers comes from the survey of businesses, the survey of households where we get the unemployment rate, both of them signal very strong labor markets so far in 2015.
I wonder whether either of you have any ideas about how this new information relates to job training. I mean, how can a small community college or job training center keep pace with where the jobs are growing so they can be sure that they're training the workforce that we need? Darius?
Well, there's been a reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act, and I think it's been recently signed. It's going through the process of public discourse, but that should enable the local workforce investment boards to better develop training programs, as well as in conjunction with community colleges, to really hone in what are the jobs in the future, not necessarily what are the jobs that are occurring today. So train for what's for rather than what was.
Andy?
Yeah, so what we've seen successful in parts of the 5th District is when community colleges partner with businesses and they go out and say, what workers are you looking for? And then they'll build programs in order to help train workers for that particular business or that particular industry. Workforce development is a huge issue. When we speak with businesses throughout our district, invariably, a large part of the conversation is about workforce development because there's it varies on the particulars across the district, but businesses across our district are having a hard time finding workers. IT is huge in Maryland. I talked to a recruiter regarding IT, and he used, in a 10-minute conversation talking about the availability of IT workers, he used the word scary three times in terms of not being able to find workers to meet, to fulfill his clients' needs, cyber in particular. And so I think there's a big opportunity for community colleges, local universities to scale up. And I think part of that is to reach out to different firms and say, what kind of programs would be most useful? And in order to meet some of the needs of the local economy,
we're down to just a minute, Darius. What I know these numbers bounce around a lot from month to month. What are you going to be looking for a month from now in about Maryland's jobs?
Well, I will probably see if the April numbers hold true, especially in the administration and support sector. See if those get revised significantly downward, but it is a positive trend. We're moving up. We're sort of at one of our highest points since the post-recession, and that's definitely a good sign.
And Andy, I'll give you the last word, if it's short.
Yeah, no, I'm looking kind of the same thing. There's some trends that we saw with the cutbacks in federal spending. It hit certain sectors of the economy, the professional business services, computer system design, some of the sectors that Darius talked about. Those have been leveling out and starting to recover. So I'll be focused on those going forward to make sure to see that the economy is rebounding from those cuts.
I thank you both for giving us this overview. Andy Bauer is senior regional economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond's Baltimore branch. Darius Arani is chief economist of the Regional Economic Studies Institute at Towson University. We have some more information at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on the show, an answer to food deserts. Stay with us on 88.1.